Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In May, more than 40,000 ultra-Orthodox Jewish men attended a rally at Citi Field to discuss the risks posed by the internet to their religion. Now, political reporter Josh Robin of New York One is looking at how the community is struggling with the challenge to their traditions from online gambling, pornography, social networking, and more on the World Wide Web. Robin's five-part series, Tangled Web, Orthodox Jews and the Internet, has been airing on New York One. He joins me now in the studio. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
And I want to open it up to listeners right away. We definitely have time for your phone calls now. If you're part of the Orthodox Jewish community and you've been thinking about these issues, about how the internet fits into the traditions of your faith, we want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How worried are you about the effects of the web on your attention span and on your spirituality? What are your concerns? And if you're from a different, deeply religious community, how are you grappling with these issues? 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And you can also leave your comment at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. Now, Josh, that rally in May that I just mentioned is also in your piece. And at the time, some of the headlines framed that event as an anti-internet meeting. But it's a little more complicated than that, right?
Yeah, I think that it was initially planned to be an anti-internet meeting. And it still, to an extent, was an anti-internet meeting. But I think by the time the rally came around, the rabbis and the coordinators realized that banning the internet entirely was not going to happen. And, you know, use it really, you know, according to the booklet that they gave out and the speeches, use it only when you need to. You know, you have to use it for work, but, you know, don't use it for anything else. And that includes not using it even for things that other Orthodox Jews might find pious about the internet, like being able to study Torah and study, you know, Talmudic commentary on the internet, which is available all over the place. So there's a real schism within the community.
Yeah, there's a lot of ambivalence. I want to play a clip from the first part of your series. This is Eitan Kobre. He's an organizer of the rally in Citi Field.
It's about the loss of our humanity. It's about the loss of our privacy. It's about what the internet does to us when we get on there anonymously and we go onto comment sections, we go onto blogs, and we turn into raving lunatics and we turn into moral ogres.
So those concerns are ones we can all understand. I've had my own crusades against anonymous commenters. The loss of privacy online is something we're all talking about. So how much of this is about the ultra-Orthodox tradition specifically?
Well, I really tried to just use the Orthodox and the observant Orthodox as a way to spark conversation among all of us. And, you know, my hope is that I'm not singling out and stereotyping the Orthodox, the observant, the Haredi communities, but rather, you know, showing that they are struggling, that individual Orthodox Jews are struggling with the kind of issues that all of us are. And, you know, they just took it out into the open in a really public, unique way with this gathering, which is called the Nasifa in Hebrew. So, you know, my hope, and I think it's been successful, is that everyone sorts of talks about the fact of how the internet has changed our relationship, not just, of course, with commerce and with entertainment, but also with communicating individual, one-on-one. And, you know, the rabbis who I talked to were very firm on the fact that this isn't just a Jewish issue. This is a universal issue.
Interesting. But it also means a lot to them. In the last segment, we talked about how money presents a threat to spirituality and spiritual growth. And it's my understanding that in the Orthodox community, that spiritual growth, that connection with God is one of the primary goals, actually. I mean, it's what they spend their life trying to achieve. So within their tradition, how hard does it make it for them to use the internet and still sort of have this communion with God that they're looking for?
Well, the problem with the internet, according to a number of these people, and I think it's actually a not controversial statement, is that people consider it a colossal waste of time, as one of the rabbis put it. You know, you could be doing work and doing something that you think is interesting and or spiritual, but then, you know, you might say, well, you know, let me go to another site or, you know, let me click to this link. And before you know it, you're on something that's, you know, complete dreck that you have that's completely irrelevant to what you're, you know, to what's considered good. So that's really the concern among those who I talk to. You know, the other thing is that the information, to a large degree, exists already in book form that a number of these Talmudic scholars are studying. I mean, they've been doing it for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So what's the point of changing that tradition? And tradition, obviously, is an extremely important part of the observant Jewish community. So what's the point of doing it with something new when you can do it with something that has worked fine previously?
Right. And you talked a little bit about the apps. Just last week, tens of thousands of people attended a Talmud celebration at the Meadowlands.
Right.
And studying the Talmud is this 7.5-year task. It's deeply spiritual. And this year, there were apps and websites to help people along. So is that frowned upon? Where does that come into the conversation?
That's the fascinating part of this, is that I think that, you know, people are still struggling with this. The Orthodox community is still struggling with this. In one sense, they're saying the internet is horrible. The internet, you know, should be limited completely. And then you have other Jews who consider themselves just as observant, just as traditional, who actually, you know, go on the internet to learn about that which is they also consider pious. The interesting part about the it's basically the culmination of, as you said, reading the 7.5 years of the Talmud. The interesting part of that is actually, to the best of my knowledge, it wasn't streamed on the internet, and that was a conscious decision. But instead, there was one individual there who happened to have his cell phone out and streamed it. He never did it before, and all of a sudden, he had thousands of people following him. So in his mind, he did a holy thing. I think that the rabbis who coordinated it felt that, you know, I think that they're kind of confused and befuddled by the fact that some people can consider themselves pious and holy and use the internet for those sorts of purposes. Now, let me also say, getting back to the schism, that we're only talking about one section within the observant Jewish community here, those who I interviewed, those who were at the rally. Those who were not at the rally were the Chabad community, which is familiar to a lot of people who aren't just Jewish because they ask a number of people if you're Jewish on the street during particular times of the year. They have their mitzvah vans and so forth. They have embraced the internet entirely. In fact, later on this week, I'll have a part of my series talking about Chabad.org, which gets thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers, not just Jewish, to learn about the internet. And the Lubavitcher rabbi, who was the most recent spiritual leader, was called the first internet rebbe because as early as the late 90s, he had an advanced website where he could talk about the rituals and the importance and the traditions on the internet. And he doesn't see anything as, unkosher, so to speak, about it.
So to speak, exactly. Well, WNYC's Arun Venugopal reported on the Talmud celebration at the Meadowlands, and he spoke to one of the men who participated who was still a little skeptical about this whole internet thing.
The secrets to making it through is to learn how to manage your time. To learn how to manage your time, can't waste time. I don't have a Facebook account. I don't Twitter. Those things are just a waste of time.
Totally off the grid.
Off the grid. Off the grid.
And he had managed to study the Talmud in just that way. So I'm wondering, have the people that you've spoken to from the ultra-Orthodox community spoken to you about focus and concentration and spirituality?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the kind of learning that one aspires to do in a study hall and when praying is that you can't even one of the things that I learned was that even when you're praying, a snake could come up your neck, your leg, and you shouldn't be able to even you shouldn't react to it because you're so entranced in prayer. And I think, you know, just as I was saying before, that the internet allows you to go to different places very easily and allows you to be distracted. So again, you know, what's the point of doing it on the internet? You know, at the same time, though, it's making an effect. You know, all the rabbis can say, I'm going to ban this. You're going to limit your time. But even at the Asifa, that event at Citi Field, there were people on the internet. You know, there were people doing it. So I think that it's very much a struggle and a work in progress whether those who have traditionally shied away from using the internet and telling people it's okay to use the internet are now in the process of figuring out, well, you know, maybe instead you should get a filter. And even there's a system that I was surprised about that allows you to share your browsing history with a rabbi or with someone you trust to make sure that every site that you visited is on the up and up.
Interesting. Well, let's go to our callers who've experienced this. We have Judith from Westfield, New Jersey, who grew up in the Orthodox community. Judith, are you there? Okay, let's go to Leo, actually, in Lakewood, New Jersey. Judith has gone on to other pursuits, maybe requiring focus and spirituality. Mm-hmm. Leo, yes, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I listened to the moderator in this, and I think the emphasis that that introduced the subject is put on the wrong place. It isn't a question of whether the Internet is a threat to religion. That's not the problem. The Internet is a threat to the children and to the people who might be entrapped by the porno that is available and is captured here on the Internet. And that's the big problem. True, there are things even in other than the Internet that may be a waste of time, and like most of television is completely banal and a thorough waste of time. But in this particular case, which is interactive, this is a threat to the children, and that's the problem.
Josh, can you react to that?
Yeah, that's, you know, I have to agree partly with that. I became, by doing the series, I became a lot more conscious, and also I have two young kids, and became a lot more conscious of what is on the Internet. And even things that you look up that, you know, like cartoons and whatnot on YouTube, there could be comments that are so crass and so obscene, and it easily directs you to something that you don't want your kids to see. So, you know, there's definitely something there. At the same time, by banning the Internet or by severely limiting it, and this is the other part of my series, is that legitimate criticism of the community is getting silenced. The woman who I interviewed for a series that's running right now on New York One, for the episode on New York One right now, is an advocate against sexual abuse within the community, which has been, in her mind, silenced and the victims blamed. And she has to do it anonymously. In fact, she took a significant risk talking to me, and it had to be done with her back to the camera because she said she could be ostracized and essentially excommunicated, not to speak of even hurt, if she were found out. Why? Because that topic is taboo to a number of individuals within the community. So she's really doing groundbreaking work. Now, if you have a filter, I'm not entirely sure, but I would say that something that says sexual abuse would be filtered out because it's, you know, you would type in the word sex and everything with that is. And also some of these filters allow you only to go to very specific websites. So she's concerned, and she considers herself fully devout and Orthodox. She's concerned that these bans and these rallies are just another way to sweep that which needs to be aired under the carpet.
And we actually have a clip of her. You call her Debbie Teller.
Yes.
And she runs a website called adcanenough.com. It's in the New York One series, Tangled Web. And here she is.
They're going to synagogue and they're, you know, religious. And it just makes me feel that, you know, this is happening to other people and we could support each other. We're not alone.
She was talking there about what the Internet has done for her life. She was very much isolated before. She tried to write about her story. She had a really tragic story. She was raped by a man, and the rabbi forced them to marry. She managed to get divorced, and her second husband was similarly abusive. She had an abusive father. And she tried to send a letter at one point to a Jewish newspaper, and that was rejected. It wasn't published. Instead, she became her own publisher as the Internet came around, and writes this website that has attracted hundreds of people who have similar stories and similar concerns, and they have a community, essentially a virtual community. So, you know, again, it's a struggle, and there are, I think, obviously, and this is nothing new, I'm just spotlighting one particular aspect of it. There are certainly very positive things about the Internet and really horrible things about the Internet.
Right. Well, we just have a couple of minutes left, but tell me, are there the same concerns about other digital platforms? Is television a problem? Are smartphones or texting considered the same kinds of challenges?
Sure. I think television in particular is a problem. In fact, it's very rare that you would find a Hasidic individual with a television in his or her house. So that's been pretty much frowned upon. For some reason, radio is seen actually as more provided you're listening to the right stations, radio is actually seen as more of an accepted platform. As for texting, as long as it's not frivolous, as long as, you know, it's not used for work purposes or for the purposes which further, you know, your traditional life and your community, I think that would be fine. I think Twitter, and Twitter is seen for, you know, for similar reasons, only really for that which is needed. And Facebook actually has been banned in a number of different areas. They see it as, in particular in Lakewood, which the caller mentioned, they see it as a way to you know, engage in frivolous behavior and even risky behavior. The examples I was given over and over of men finding ways to cheat or women finding ways to cheat is, you know, was pretty astounding.
And we'll have to leave it there. My guest has been political reporter Josh Robin of New York One. His Tangled Web series is airing this week, and there's a link up on our website where you can check it out. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks.